Welcome to our service this morning. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We gather to wait with your disciples, expectant of your presence, longing for your return. Give us patience and power, ascended Saviour, to live as your resurrection people. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lydia, would you like to come and do your reading, please?
Hang on,
let me just twist that round slightly louder, Lydia. Okay?
Jesus said to his disciples, that is what is written in the Messiah. Must suffer and must be raised from the dead these days later, and his name in the message about repenting and his forgiveness of sins must he perish all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witness of these things, and I must will send you upon you what my Father has promised, but you must wait in the city of the power when above comes down upon you. Then I will let them out of the city as far as Bethany, when he raised his hands and blessed them, as he was blessed them, he departed him from them, and he was taken up into heaven. They worshipped him and went back to in Jerusalem, filled him with great joy, and sent him all their time in the temple, giving thanks to God.
Thank you, Lydia. Our first song has been chosen by Jennifer. I'm presuming you don't want to come up and say anything. I must give you the opportunity though, but thank you. It's a lovely one, and it was written by this lady. Now, interestingly, all the three things chosen today have been written by women. Would somebody go and let Honey in, because he's having trouble with our stiff door. Thank you. Now, Eleanor Fargeon was born in London. She came from a literary family, and her father was Jewish. She was known to the family as Nellie. Small, timid child who had poor eyesight. Now, just clock that in your memory, because there'll be a coincidence coming later on in the service. And she suffered from ill health throughout her childhood. She was a poet, a journalist, and a broadcaster, and she often published her poems under other names. Names like the Tom Fool, or Chimera, or Mary Andrew. Interesting selection of names. She became a Roman Catholic in 1951, and her most widely published hymn is Morning Has Broken. It's an old Gaelic tune we sing it to, which is associated with the Scottish village, and those of you from Scotland may know it, and I probably will say it wrong, of Bunessan. I'm looking at the Scottish people who are looking puzzled. I've probably said it wrong, but anyway, it's something like that. Anyway, 1971, those of you that were here then will probably remember Cat Stevens singing it. It went under the heading in the hymn book it was first printed in as Thanksgiving for Each Day as It Comes. What a wonderful attitude. Thanksgiving for each day. Or as somebody here I know has paraphrased it in a way, and looks for something good from God each day. Something to praise God for each day. Would that we would all, every day, take that attitude. So, let's join and let's sing, standing if you're able to. Morning has broken. Thanks, Nick.
Our prayers of praise as we come to God. Let us pray. Bless the Lord, my soul. With all my being, I bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and forget none of his benefits. He pardons all my wrongdoing and heals all my ills. He rescues me from death's pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies me with all good in the prime of life, and my youth is renewed like an eagle's. Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, this morning we come to bless and praise your name. Whatever circumstance we are in, whatever situation we find ourselves with, whatever week we have had, Lord, you are the same. You have not changed, and you are worthy of our praise, our worship, and our adoration, our love, and our obedience. Lord God, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in the changing circumstances of our lives, Lord God, we praise you that we can rely on you. We praise you that we can trust you. We praise you that we have found and will find you faithful in all things. Lord God, your love for us is truly amazing. We come knowing we do not deserve any of your attention, any of your love. And yet while we were still sinners, you loved us. When we were still far off, you sought us. When we had rejected you, you accepted us and brought us to yourself. And Father God, we are here as sisters and brothers, daughters and sons, to worship you, to love you, to be family together, to honour and glorify you in the way we live and the forgiveness that we give each other. And Lord, we worship and praise you. We know that others will see and others will come, and you will draw more to you. Father God, this morning, be worshipped and praised, we pray. Amen. And now Franny is going to come and give us a short reading. Thank you, Franny.
And if you ask me what a Christian is, I'd say, not one who's pure in word and deed, or goes to all Sunday services, or says their prayers, or knows the proper creed, but that one who would gladly give away all that they have, now, all that they have now or have ever been, to stand between the dark tomb and the day. And not the moment of the Magdalene.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Ronnie.
And also my own personal thanks for doing the food last Sunday. For the people I've spoken to, they really enjoyed it, so thank you. Chris. I've got down here poem.
Poem is basically about COVID. I've been encouraged to recite it by a number of people. It was written a few years ago, and now that we seem to be coming, hopefully, out of COVID a little bit, I feel as if I can recite it now. It was written by a very popular Welsh singer and poet. Some of you may have heard of him, a man by the name of Max Boyce. Last night as I lay sleeping, when dreams came fast to me, I dreamt I saw Jerusalem beside that tideless sea. And one dream I'll remember as the stars began to fall was Banksy painting Alan Wynne on my neighbour's garage wall. And dreams like that sustain me till these darkest times have passed and chase away the shadows no caring night should cast. But times like this can share a light, times like this can shine a light, as hardship often can, to see the best in people and the good there is in man. And I remember Swansea with nobody about, when shops are closed like Sunday and just the tide went out. And I remember Mumbles with a harbour in its keep and the little boats at anchor that fish the waters deep. And I heard the seabirds calling as the gulls all wheeled about. But all the town is sleeping now and just the tide went out. And when these days are over and memories remain, when children painted rainbows and the sun shone through the rain, and thought of all the nurses who stretched all the pain, and I hope the carers never see a time like this again. And I prayed last week for Boris, who knocked on heaven's door, and I thought of voting Tory, which I'd never done before. And though the sun is shining now, I've no immediate plans, so I'll write a book on staying in and ways to wash your hands. And now more days of lockdown, 3 weeks of staying in, and I'm running out of vodka, so I started on the gin. And my neighbours are complaining, I've heard them scream and shout at the sounds the bins are making when I take the empties out. And when all this is over and our fragile world survives, I hope that God is caring now for the ones who gave their lives. And I pray we'll find an answer, for my faith is cast in doubt, and God draws back the heavens and all the stars come out. And I'll remember mornings with nobody about, and the shops are closed like Sundays, and just the tide went out.
Thank you, Chris. That was an amazing poem, and I love the image of just the tide went out. Nobody else did. It was only the tide that went in and out. Anyway, James, you have a reading for us, I believe.
Okay. I had three readings to choose from, and I eventually settled on this one because of being prompted from last night of something, the importance of this particular reading. I'm going to read from Isaiah 53, a very familiar reading. The other two were going to be Psalms, and it's a great place to spend time in Psalms. But I'll reveal my reasons to why I settled on this one. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, and it were our faces from him. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs, and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made him grave with wicked. But with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks,
yeah. And reason I settled on this particular, and while the others were also very good, is that this reading of Isaiah 53 is actually omitted from the teachings of the Jewish people. And when you get to witness a Jew coming to Christ, they get to read this passage and they wonder why they do not believe and see Jesus as the Messiah. Because this reading was given to Isaiah 700 years before Jesus came and set foot on his planet. And yet it's taken out of their reading. It's for us to perhaps reflect where the Jewish people stand. And in a sense, it is God that will take the veil away from their eyes that for the time being is blinding them from seeing the Messiah for who he is.
Roy, surprise.
Okay, surprise. I recently, well, 6 months ago, I had to surrender my driving license. So I've been going to Sainsbury's 3 times a week to get me shopping. And each time, most of the times that I've been up there, there's been a gentleman sat on the ground like that, on a blanket. And for a long, long time, I managed to avoid making any sort of contact with him whatsoever. And then I found this, which is entitled, it's called Words from a Shop Doorway. And I read it, and I cried, and I'm going to share it with you. I envy you that overcoat, you know, thick, black, and buttoned to the neck, just right to stop the wind that cuts me like a knife. Oh, I envy you those fancy gloves as well. Leather, with a soft lining, I imagine. A Christmas present, I expect, from a loving, caring wife. Oh, I have to say, I envy you those shoes. I bet they don't let water in and soak your socks so that your feet are always damp and cold. And I envy you as well the fact that, although we're much the same age, you look young and well-kept, while I look ragged, tired and old. But I do not envy you the problem that you have with your eyesight, because as yet it's not quite dark, and I'm here clearly to be seen. Is there some reason why you can't see me? Perhaps you need new lenses. And I don't envy you the fact that your hearing's not too good. I'm calling out to you from just a yard away, and it's clear you can't hear, or you'd look in my direction. Have you a problem with all of your senses? But wait, perhaps it's neither sight nor hearing that's at fault. Perhaps it's the muscles in your neck that won't let you turn your head towards me. Or your back, perhaps it's clicked and you can't turn at all. Bad luck, I don't envy you that. There must be something, after all, that's physically wrong. I mean, what other reason could there be? For when all's said and done, we're both human beings. Although your world is warm and rounded, and mine is cold and flat. Pass on, you fat and greasy citizens, pass on. No, they're not my words. Shakespeare wrote them long ago. How do I know that? You make the mistake, my friend, of equating my present plight with foolishness or lack of education. When you look at me, if you'd look at me, you'd see, behind these eyes, a brain like yours, but one which, at the moment, no one needs or wants. You thought you understood my situation. Idler, waster, good for nothing, parasite. Look in the thesaurus and increase the range of words that you can use. But while you're there, take time and find the word compassion. That at least would be a start. Find love. Find care. And then find understanding. Search through for others. There are plenty to be found. But what would really change this ugly town's face would be if you could find these things not just in books, but in your heart.
Thank you, Roy. Right, our next song, chosen by Michael. And it's written by a lady called Wendy Churchill. She wrote it in 1981. And it's inspired by a passage in Hebrews chapter 6. Wendy is a British music teacher and worship leader. She was born in Broxton in Cheshire. She's moved around the country. She's been in Cornwall, Cumbria, Leeds and Plymouth, which is not bad going. And also finally moved to Southampton to study music and English, and she taught music at a school in Southampton for 15 years. She's actually written musicals and cantatas based on biblical stories, and in 2005 she and her husband moved to London. Jesus is King, a tremendous song, and I invite you to stand to sing. Thank you, Nick.
Well, if you're one of the people like me that still has a calendar on the wall at home, you may have noticed on Thursday that it said Ascension Day, the day recognised by the church when we remember Jesus ascending into heaven. So today is Ascension Sunday. And rather than the passage from Acts that records this, I'd like to start with Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus ascended to heaven after his resurrection so that he could be with all of us forever through his Holy Spirit and not be limited by his physical body. Surely Jesus is with us always, not just on Sundays, not just when we really think about him, not just in the extraordinary or exceptional moments, but in the little things, in the mundane, everyday, nondescript moments. Do you remember the concept of Sunday best? Wearing one's best clothes to go to church on a Sunday, but probably changing as soon as you got home, and not using those for the rest of the week. And similarly, many things were kept for best, not just clothes and shoes, sheets, towels, crockery and glassware, and maybe even the front parlour, the best room in the house, even in the smallest terrace, but barely used. But keeping things for best mean that they're not often used as much as they were meant to be, not to their full potential. Are we in danger of treating Jesus in the same way? Do we keep him locked away only to make an appearance on Sundays when we feel religious? If that's the case, then we're not benefiting much by Jesus being with us always. To use an analogy of driving a car, do we regard Jesus as our steering wheel or as our spare wheel? The steering wheel is absolutely essential for safe travel every time we use the car. But the spare wheel is kept out of sight in the boot and only brought into use in an absolute emergency. Both objects, the steering wheel and the spare wheel, are with us in the vehicle all the time. But while one is regarded as essential, the other as necessary, but hopefully never needed. Something else I heard on the radio during the last week made me think about how much we allow Jesus into our lives and let him change us and truly have him with us always. It wasn't a religious clip. The news clip was about an organisation called Man vs Fat Football. I don't know whether you heard it. Overweight and unfit men can meet together and share a game of football without judgmental attitudes and discuss their problems together. And the man being interviewed had lost 25 kilograms in weight, no mean achievement, and became much fitter, healthier and happier by attending this group. So the radio interviewer asked whether it was the half an hour of football per week that had made all the difference, or had there other changes been made? The man replied, "It wouldn't make much difference if it was only half an hour of football a week. Friendship, motivation, and encouragement were all gained at the meeting, but other changes followed. Diet and lifestyle, so that it became an all-day, everyday way of living." And surely the same is true of living a Christian life, living every day with Jesus by our side. If we restrict Jesus to 1 hour of our time, our worship, our company, on a Sunday, but then try to live our own way for the rest of the week, then Jesus won't have much of an impact on all the details of our life. Even if we feel motivated and encouraged, or find new inspiration at worship on a Sunday, we need to allow Jesus to show us how we can make changes to our lives so that we can become more like him. If we don't spend time speaking with him and listening to him each day, discussing every aspect of our lives, then we restrict the ways he can help us and change us to the way he wants us to be. And remember, Jesus promised his disciples that he came to bring life, life in all its fullness, for those who live according to his will, real living, not just existing. Please don't use Jesus like some sort of talisman or idol that you might carry around with you, or look at or touch now and again for reassurance, but little more. Jesus should be our very best friend with whom we want to share everything. There is nothing about us that Jesus is not interested in, and he wants us to experience that real, everlasting joy that comes from living with him in our lives. I'd like to read a passage from Colossians chapter 3, which talks about the difference of having Jesus with us always means. So Colossians 3, beginning at verse 10. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. It's often said that those closest to us often see and experience the worst of us. With our nearest and dearest, we often don't try as hard to be kind or loving or pleasant or forgiving, expecting them to love us anyway and put up with us. With others not as close, we often pretend to be better than we are, knowing that our real selves would not be tolerated or liked. Jesus sees us at our best and worst, in every situation we face day by day, and still loves us. We can't pretend with him. He sees straight through any pretense. But while he may still love us, he will speak to us to show us better ways to behave, better ways to live, and love and forgive. We will gradually learn by having him at our side what it really means to be a child of God, accepted in his family. Surely he is with us always. I found this prayer by Rex Chapman that I thought was appropriate. Work within me, within us, within the church. Be at the centre of our lives. Mould us in your image. Bring about our transformation. Make us fruitful, Lord, now, here as well as there, me as well as the others. Amen. Finally, I'd like to give you something to go away with, one of those earworms that you get in your head and you can't get rid of. It's an old chorus, I'm sure you'll know it, you'll know the tune, and it'll be there. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Surely he's with us always. Amen. Thank you, Margaret.
Let's come to God in our prayers. I've based them on the Lord's Prayer. So every so often you will hear me saying something from the Lord's Prayer. By all means join in, but sometimes it's only a couple of words. All right, just to warn you of that. Let's pray. So our Father, we come to you, our Father, thanking you for your great love for us. We bring to you those we love and who are on our hearts at this time. We ask that you would bring comfort, especially to those who've lost loved ones. And we think of that primary school in America. And Lord, the tragic shooting of those children and the teachers and then the death of one of the husbands. Lord, you know. Pray that you would surround them with your comfort and your love. Our Father in heaven, thank you that you reign over all. And actually, you know all that happens in our lives and you have a plan for us. Help us to trust in you and your provision. Hallowed be your name. Praise you that you speak to us. Sorry, praise you that you hear us as we speak to you and that you want to speak into our lives. Open our ears to hear you, our hearts to obey, and our lips to praise your name. Your kingdom come. We pray that you would be at work in and through the church around the world, and that love would be shown even in the most difficult of circumstances, and that people would be drawn into your kingdom. We pray that your will be done on earth as in heaven. We ask that you would guide our government and those in authority in this country in their decisions. Pray for justice and pray for wisdom. We pray for those who are so vulnerable at the moment, especially with the issues over the heating and the increasing costs of food too. Lord, we just pray for the situation out in Ukraine. longing for your will to be done there, longing for peace, longing for you to turn back that tide of evil and just be with those people who are suffering so much out there. Give us today our daily bread. We've mentioned those who are struggling in this country. We also think of parts of Africa. And in particular, Sudan has been on the news this week. But those who have no harvest, have no food, pray that you would guide and you would lead, help and aid to reach them and to help them there. We also lift to you the work of the food banks and accommodation concern. Pray that those who work hard to support and care for others, and pray, Lord, that we would be ready to respond to your promptings to do what we can. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We're sorry, Lord, for the times when we go wrong, the times when we let you down, whether in word or behaviour. Forgive us, Lord, and help us not to hold on to bitterness or onto quarrels, but to forgive. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. Father, we don't know what we will face tomorrow, but in all situations, may we live as your children and not give in to wrong thoughts or ideas. Protect us, Lord, when we face danger, and grant us your peace. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. And Lord, we can trust into your hands those we love, those people who need a touch of your love. I'll just pause for a minute, and if there's somebody on your heart that you just want to bring to God, please say their name out loud or in your heart. Father, you've heard the names spoken, whether out loud or in our hearts. We pray for those that are not here today, particularly for those that are not here because of illness or ill health. And Father, just ask that you would minister in those different situations. And Lord, we also pray for the work of Manor Publications, which is our mission of the month. Pray that you'd bless them and guide them in all that they do. Now and forever. Amen. We come to our final song. Margaret, you said about an earworm with He Lives. This could give you another one, because it's To God Be the Glory. So we'll see which one wins. But Fanny Crosby wrote this. And I referred to something about, get her first name right, Eleanor Fajon. She suffered from foresight. Fanny Crosby was blind from a young age. And there's other coincidences with her. Fanny Crosby wrote under different names as well. Now, I don't know why, but Fanny Crosby, well, there are a large number, and I'm not going to read them all out, but there's Mrs. Van Alstyne is one of them. There's Lizzie Edwards, Ella Dale, Leah Carlton. There's nearly 200 different names that Fanny Crosby wrote under. Her philosophy from an early age, which I think I've mentioned this before, but I think it's worth just saying again. She said, although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. And that, I think, is a challenge to many of us. So let's join together to sing "To God Be the Glory," which has been chosen for us by Lydia. Thank you, Nick. Blessing over you. It's based on the words in Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to pray it over. You may like to close your eyes while I pray it over you, because there's several little bits, and then we're going to do something else with it, and then we will have the sending prayer. Okay? So let me pray for you, each of you as you are here, or those that are listening to it on the phone. I pray that the eyes of your heart are filled with hope. I pray that you will know just how rich you are in Christ. I pray for the power that raised Christ back from the dead. I pray that you know Christ ascended to God's right hand. I pray you will know he is raised above all names and powers. I pray you will know Jesus, who fills everything in every way. Amen. Now, what I invite you to do, I'm going to read that through again. And you can even just join with me in the words, I pray. But I want you to focus. Yes, we've gone over time a bit. We're nearly done. As I pray it, I invite you to focus on somebody. Somebody you know who needs a touch of God, who needs a blessing. All right? So, I pray that the eyes of your heart are filled with hope. I pray you will know just how rich you are in Christ. I pray for the power that raised Christ back from the dead. I pray that you know Christ ascended to God's right hand. I pray you will know he's raised above all names and powers. I pray you will know Jesus, who fills everything in every way. So join please with me in this. God sends you out to be his resurrection people. Jesus, who was dead, is now alive. He ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Father. His physical absence increases his presence within us. He has not left us alone. The risen Jesus asks us to go. We are sent out to bring God's good news to the world. God sends us out to be your resurrection people. Amen.